from the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Brewer Show. We're your hosts, Austin and Sharon Brewer, today, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Austin Brewer. I'm so glad to have you with us today. And I have my wonderful mom on the show with us today. She thought she would come on and give us an insight on a lot of stuff that's going on, go over some more news with me, and, you know, just kind of keep everybody up to date before the weekend on what's going on in Europe, how everything's going on. So, Mom, great to have you on the show today.
Oh, Austin, it's great. We're a little bit of like a six-hour time change from you, but it's great over here.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, how, you know, let us know how everything go. A lot of listeners want to know how the trip went on the way over there, how it is now.
Okay.
Anything going on that's pertinent that we need to know about, be updated on?
Well, first of all, Austin, I'd like to take a little bit of time today to talk about how to stay healthy when flying overseas or a long flight, because you hear so many people now coughing and hacking, and we just get call after call in the office, and we're talking to several people over here that say that they've got flu-like symptoms and coughs and congestion in their lungs that they've never had before, and they're having to go on antibiotics for long periods of time, and it's lasting for months at a time. And I've heard that it's the chemtrail flu, and I've heard this and I've heard that. But what I'd like to talk about is when you're flying and you're on a real, you're in an enclosed area with a lot of sick people on an airplane, and that's really not that bad as long as you keep your immune system up and stay ahead of the game. And I'm going to tell you a few quick things that you may already know or you may not know that it makes a big difference when you fly. The first thing is you may not be able to eat like you normally want to eat. You may have to discipline your what would you call hunger cravings when you're flying, because the food on the airplanes are so bad with so many chemicals and so much junk. And I know business class is much better than coach as far as the food, but you've got to be so careful. Over here in Europe, we don't have to be concerned about the GMOs, which is one refreshing thing about eating over here, because you pretty much can eat any vegetables or anything like that and not really, you know, be concerned about, oh, is this GMO and is this GMO, is that GMO? For instance, the eggs on the buffets are a bright orange yolk. Now, our yard eggs at home are a dark yellow, but we still don't have that bright orange color, and we're trying to figure out how they get the eggs so rich, because they normally are higher in nutrients the darker the yolks. But back to flying, we actually flew out of Orlando to Philadelphia to London, and to start out the trip, when we flew out of Orlando, our flight was almost 2 hours delayed leaving Orlando, which is a nice way to always start a two-week, three-week trip overseas. But, you know, no problems. Then you got to face TSA. Well, I was able to go through the TSA pre-check, and we already have our application in to get through the pre-check, but it hasn't been confirmed yet. So I got just, I guess, lucky, you'd say, and got to walk on through. It took forever to get through. But then because of the delay, we had to run to our next flight in Philadelphia to catch to London, which, of course, our luggage didn't make it. So you know the story. Your luggage doesn't make it to Germany, and you're without this and without that. So what you have to do is, it's real important that you actually keep your supplements, your immune supplements, and we have the immune support program on our website, but those supplements need to stay with you at all times. I wouldn't pack them in your check-on bags, because for this reason, you don't know when you're going to get your luggage. Now, what I suggest first of all is drink plenty of water, if you can, out of glass containers, and I know it's hard when you're traveling, but it's so important to stay hydrated when you fly. You lose so much moisture, and you can have leg cramping and dehydrate, and that's just not good. Also, if you have to take some type of an herbal supplement to keep you regular, it's very important. I know we have these at Health Masters, but you don't want to get constipated. And when you fly, it has a tendency to constipate you. When you get constipated, you slow down the fecal transit time in your colon, and the water is reabsorbed through the colon wall. And all these toxins and poisons aren't being eliminated on a regular basis. They get reabsorbed into that colon wall, which actually could lead to auto intoxication, which is really the beginning of disease. That's when you have the mucus build up in your throat, in your lungs, in your nasal passages, and in your colon. And that's usually how colds start. So it's real important to stay regular. You may have to take a couple herb tablets while you're flying or the next couple days till you're on a regular schedule, but it's real important to do that. It's better to even almost have diarrhea than to get constipated when you're flying like that. Another thing is take melatonin. We took it on the flight over. If you have a choice when you're making your flights, and we fly on points, so we really didn't have much of a choice on the time we were leaving, but if we have a choice, we like to fly out late in the evening. When I say late, I don't mean at midnight. I mean like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. When you're flying overseas and you're over the ocean around 8 or 9 o'clock, you actually can take a melatonin. It's your normal bedtime. You can sleep and really get 6 or 7 hours of sleep on the plane and actually get to your destination overseas, over in Europe, and you're not profusely tired and jet-lagged. This time it didn't happen. We left too early, and with all the delays, we got 3 hours on the plane and then 3 hours the next day. So that's why I'm doing the show today and your father isn't. But not to be rambling or anything, but it's real important to keep your immune support supplements with you. We actually put our astragalus and checked it through, which was a mistake. It was confiscated. Someone took our shipping tape out of our bag and our astragalus. Now, I don't understand why, but figure that one out. Yeah, but the shipping tape was to tape the bag back up when we got it, but that was totally taken out. But I know that's pretty good, because I know in Ecuador, our in-laws say you can't ship anything through Ecuador because they'll take anything they want and you'll never get it. But as far as the vitamin C, as far as the multiple, the B vitamins, anything, the powder vitamin C, anything that you can take on the airplane, take it. Make a vitamin C drink with water on the airplane. Just stay hydrated. Keep your vitamin C plasma levels up. To keep your immune system up, it's very, very important. Another important thing to do is stay away from the desserts and the snacks. Now, when you get to Europe or wherever you're going, enjoy the cuisine of that country. Enjoy the desserts, whatever, but go easy on them. But when you're flying and your immune system is low, stay away from the sugar, because all that's going to do is lower your white blood count, which in turn is going to lower your immune system, which whatever's flying around in that airplane is going to jump on you. So that's real important. Otherwise, that's pretty much all I have to say. Those are just common sense things to do when you're flying, and usually it's when you have a lot of time changes, when you go through a lot of different time zones, because your body's really not made to change that quickly. We've been taking melatonin at night. We actually take it when it's time to go to bed, sleep 8 or 9 hours and get a good night's sleep, and we can really get through the jet lag in a couple days, which it takes most people, without doing what I'm saying, at least a week. And by the time they're headed home, they're just now getting used to the new time zone, and then they got to head back. So awesome. That's what we've been doing here as far as the time zone. And then later on, I'll tell you about what's going on with the weather.
Well, some great information, but yeah, we've always, you know, been very adamant about that. There's a few key things when you travel, you know, your vitamins, your sleep, your water intake, your bowel movements, essentially, and your overall diet and making sure you don't get sugar. And that's one thing I'd like you to address, too, was the Atrialo. That's the main one we have. The Atrialo Forte is a berry. It's a tablet, natural laxative from the aloe vera plant. Works really good in situations like that, because mom nailed it on the head. I talked to so many people in the office here when almost all the time that's one of the first things I ask people when I'm going through, when they tell me they're chronically sick, chronically fatigued, always having issues. My first thing is, okay, what's your diet? What's your water intake? What's your bowel movement like? And because those are key aspects, and that is absolutely true. When people get plugged and they can't use the restroom, and you talk to people and they're using the restroom or having a bowel movement every 3 or 4 or 5 days, that toxicity builds up. The colon is designed to eliminate all that, and that's why it's very important, too. I always tell people when they start having issues with acne and skin eruptions and real issues like that, that's another thing, is making sure your liver's cleaned out and also making sure your colon's cleaned out, because your skin is the largest eliminating organ in the body. If you can't properly rid yourself of toxins through the liver and through the colon, it's going to push them out some way that it has to, and a lot of times that's the skin as we see people with really, really bad acne, a lot of that is usually diet-related, along with a lack of water, lack of proper nutrients, and usually not enough bowel movement. So that's something I'm glad you addressed on there. That's the Atrialo Forte, and you get that at healthmasters.com. It's not something that I would say use it, you know, every single day, all the time. It's not going to really hurt you, though. It's a natural supplement. But definitely, you know, use it as you need it, but also make sure you don't use it to compensate for a poor diet, lacking, you know, fiber, vegetables, fruits, stuff like that. You want to make sure you use it for specific needs. And something like this, when you're going to be going on a long, long plane ride or traveling, it's super important you keep the bowel movements regular, and the Atrialo works perfect for that. Now, also, too, how's the weather over there right now? I know we're it's coming up the beginning of May. So,
well, yeah, let me tell you, say a little bit more what you just said about the Atrialo. You want to use it, but not abuse it.
Yeah.
And another another thing is, like you said, keeping the transit time like it should be. Think of it as a garbage can, and you're throwing all the food in there, and you're putting the lid on it, and then you're heating it up to very high temperature. What's it going to do? I know that's a really graphic, and it sounds terrible, but you got to think about these things. It's also real important when you're flying to carry some type of wet wipes. We use some that are alcohol-free that have all natural ingredients. They have, like, lemon oil. They're essential oils, because everything you touch, and Austin, I'm an avid listener to the Ted and Austin Brower show, so I've learned a lot from you guys. But the other day, y'all were talking about bathroom sanitary protocols for public bathrooms, and it was so funny. Today we were at a phenomenal place up near the mountains, and they had one of those hand drying machines. And I said, Savannah, don't use it. I heard it on the show. You don't use it. It spreads germs. But as far as the plane and everything, I just don't like airplane restrooms. They're nasty. So what I do is I take the hand sanitizer wipes, and I wipe everything down. I'm almost fanatical. But if you know what we know about the germs, about the feces, about all that, I mean, you just don't want to put your hands near your face or anything. When I sit down, I wipe down the remotes to the videos that you get to watch on the thing. Anything I touch, the buttons to recline the seats, I wipe them all down, because they have got to be unbelievably nasty and filthy. I just don't want to know how bad they are, but I feel better knowing that, and I feel at least like I'm keeping a lot of the germs down. So I wanted to share that with you. But as far as the weather, Austin, I find this very, very unusual weather conditions going on here. First of all, we flew into Stuttgart, and then we drove to Munich yesterday. I may get my days mixed up, because I know today's Friday, but that's about it. But we noticed that as we were getting towards Munich, it was raining, and then all of a sudden we went through some real light snow flurries, which people are like, this is crazy. Our weather's never this cold in April. The temperatures have been down in the 30s at night, maybe low 50s in the afternoon, maybe the high 60, and they said it's very, very rare. Well, today we are in Austria, a little ways out of Salzburg, and beautiful, beautiful country up near the mountains, towards the mountains and out in the country at a beautiful hotel, one of the Starwood properties. And we got there, and there was snow on the ground, which was beautiful, but we thought, wow, this is really strange. Well, 2 days ago, they said they had a little over 10 centimeters of snow on the ground, which is about 4 inches of snow. They've never had snow in April. They've never had snow really in late March. Usually by the middle of March, they say that it's starting to warm up just a little bit, but they don't have snow. So I find it very strange that they're having snow. Also, another thing, Austin, which is good, but it was very strange, is the skies were that pretty azure blue that I remember growing up as a child, seeing the sky, that pretty blue. And I have not seen one chemtrail in the last 2 days. Now, granted, we were in Munich and today near Salzburg, but it was so refreshing to look up at the mountains, look up at the sky, and see that blue and not one chemtrail. And I'm thinking, this is really strange. Because until I knew what a chemtrail was, I don't remember a day of not seeing chemtrails, and we've been pretty much all over the world since then. So I don't know. You tell me, and then I know you'll probably talk about the earthquake in New Zealand, but it's just some strange weather going on, Austin.
It is. That's very strange. The end of April and the beginning of May, you guys are getting that much snow over there. I mean, I'm glad the weather's really nice, though, and clear blue skies. I mean, that's a blessing. Maybe
it's gorgeous.
Maybe the geoengineers and the globalists, maybe they feel that the Muslim migrants are doing their job enough in Europe that they don't have to spray chemtrails on everybody in Europe anymore. I don't know.
Who knows?
But that's exciting. I'm glad it's good over there. I'm glad you guys are staying healthy. The weekend you guys should have fun being able to run around. Let me get into a couple news articles I got here. This is crazy now up in Michigan. A Michigan appeals court has now ruled correctly, or this, that a judge acted properly when ordering children to be vaccinated despite objections by their mother on religious grounds. Her requests were disregarded after she was deemed unfit by the state. And this is pretty crazy, guys. The laws up in Michigan regarding vaccinations were changed recently, I think back in January. In the past, it was pretty much how it is in Florida. You basically sign some papers for your religious exemption, sign some papers at school. But apparently back in January, parents of children who attend public schools were required to undergo an educational session about the benefits of vaccines and then sign the papers at the county health department, and also exemption letters basically stating all this other weird information that they wanted from all this personal information that they were declining all the vaccines. I talked about this last year on why they were doing this, and this is to build evidence against you. In the event that something happens, they want to have a whole list of paper trail that they can come back and say, this is where you're an unfit parent here, you sign this. This is where you're an unfit parent here, you sign this. You decline this, you decline this. And that's exactly what they had happen. Now, according to Michigan Live, the mother that I was referring to was considered unfit because they said, this is what they claimed, that she had lack of financial support for her children and mental health problems. I don't know this lady. I've never met this lady. But the case was set in motion after a social worker asked the Kent County Court to order the vaccination. When the mother objected because of the religious exemption, the judge ordered their vaccination. So what's pretty crazy about this is normally, you would think a child, parents have the right, this and that. But apparently now in Michigan, that if the social worker comes in and opens up a case, all they have to do is claim that you're not being an unfit parent, or you are being an unfit parent, you're not basically, handling your children properly, they can immediately have a court order to forcibly vaccinate your children. They said the trial court did not order the children's immunization under any provision of the public health code. Rather, the court exercised its broad authority to enter dispositional orders for the health of the children under its jurisdiction, including the authority to enter dispositional orders regarding medical treatment. Basically, what they're saying is they had absolutely no legal rights to do it, no statutes, no public health care codes, nothing. They did it simply because the judge used his executive privilege and ordered that to be done. So if you guys are up in Michigan, just wanted to give you guys a heads up on that. We know we're already seeing this out in California and a few other states. This is the closing in, the cramping in of the vaccination police state that we're going to see. I promise you guys this will not be the end of it. And that's why the more and more people that come together in unison, the more people that get stuff together like movies like Vax, the more people that come out, like Robert De Niro originally did, and then he didn't. I know that whole thing was weird with him doing that. But, the last CEO, prior CEO of NBC writing that book, the more people that start waking up. Remember, guys, we have the rights to do this, regardless of what the state or the judges want to tell you. They do not own your children. Granted, when you start digging into the birth certificates and all that stuff, it's pretty bizarre on what actually happened in the Social Security Act and everything else. But still, they are not the state's possession. They are yours. They can do all kinds of different statutes, provisions with the birth certificates, but it doesn't matter. You guys have to make sure you stand your ground on this and get other people to stand your ground on it, because this is not a battle you can lose. This is not a battle we can lose. If we start allowing this to happen nationwide and judges just start mandating just ordered forced vaccinations of children because they don't like the way a parent's handling something, that's the end of it. I mean, you just think it's vaccination. It will be anything and everything after that. So,
it's not only even that, but even think about the education system.
I mean,
the choices we have. We have a friend over here in Germany we had dinner with the other night, and one of their sons is over in America right now for 4 months going to school. They exchange kind of like what we do, and the people that it's actually a suburb outside of Chicago, not the bad area of Chicago, but Chicago, and their family was over here, and they were taking them to the finest schools over here in Germany. The kids were learning German. They were here about 6 months, and now our friend's son is over there. I said, "Oh, well, what type of school are they going to?" They said, "Oh, well, they're homeschooled." I said, "So your son from Germany is over in the Chicago area with another family, and they're homeschooling." He goes, "Oh, yes, this family said the school system is so bad that they have to homeschool." And I thought, how interesting, because when you talk about homeschool over here in Germany, they look at you like, what is homeschool? We don't do that. They're not even allowed to. So it's probably a culture shock for this little guy over there.
Yeah, it probably is, but the truth about it is I'm not sure on the educational standards in Germany. I know they're usually pretty strict about a lot of stuff. I have never experienced it firsthand, but I know the public school sector of the United States is an abysmal failure now. I mean, with the Common Core and everything, it's like Harrison says, he's in dual enrollment. These kids are coming out of high school and starting at Polk, and they literally can't even do basic arithmetic. They can't even figure out pre-algebra problems at all, you know, and that's the problem that we're building now, is we're this whole generation's coming up in the public school system, and it's not their fault, but they're completely and totally uneducated on how to read, how to think, how to do anything in general because of this Common Core garbage. And that's what happens when you let the federal government come in and just do sweeping mandates of just base curriculums that have to be followed, that have absolutely no rhyme or reason to them. And especially when you have children, that some kids learn better different ways. You know, there's obviously different aspects to that. So that's why when you start getting the larger homeschool groups, it's a lot better because you can really focus on specific areas. If they're falling behind in a specific area, you know, you can figure out how to help them, how to get them right. You know, you get them tested every year like Dad always does, like we always did. But one article I wanted to talk about, this is crazy because we've talked before numerous times about the cashless society and how they're slowly, slowly pushing for it. This article was just something, a story that I found, but it really starts to hint along the line of what they're doing and how they're forcing the population to almost fear money, to be scared of currency, that it's actually bad and dirty, like that PayPal commercial I talked about after the Super Bowl. The absolutely biggest cashless society propaganda piece I've ever seen on national television to date. It was insane. And if you didn't watch it, I suggest you watch it and you see what PayPal is all about. That's why we don't pay. And that's another thing, guys. Let me address this real quick. We do not offer PayPal on our website, and it is not because we live in the Stone Age. I get a ton of customers that ask me about this. We originally looked at doing PayPal years ago. Years ago, we were going to offer it on our website. It's super convenient. I'm not going to argue with you there. There's no question about it. It's very easy to use. But the problem I have with PayPal is, A, their privacy statement and what they can do, what type of information they can give out to third parties. And my biggest concern, and this is why we didn't do it years ago, is their stance on Second Amendment. They are one of the biggest anti-Second Amendment companies in the United States. You can look that up. They actually will drop companies, forcefully delete them, and leave them with no way to take payments if they use anything as far as firearms, if they sell firearm parts, if they contribute to ammunition and firearm sales. Now, granted, in the last couple of years, there's been some petitions that has allowed some companies to get grandfathered in that I have heard about and Health Masters doesn't sell firearms, so it wasn't an issue for us. But the problem was, I'm not going to support a company that doesn't support Second Amendment, because the Second Amendment is the only reason that company has a right to do transactions online. The Second Amendment is the only thing we have left preventing us from a complete and total tyrannical collapse of the United States. So that is why I do not basically support PayPal at all. And they're also super, super pro-transgender, pro-gay, pro-homosexual. And guys, if you're listening to this, and you are, if you're involved in that type of behavior, I'm not going to sit here and lecture you about it. You know what you're doing. You're a grown person. But again, companies that will go out of their way to essentially crucify people that don't support that, that don't follow that belief. And that's the beautiful thing about free speech. But that's what's so crazy now about the leftists and all these people is free speech is okay until it offends them. Until they hear something they don't like, they immediately want it stopped. And that's the issue that I have with all of it. And that's what PayPal does. That's why, if you've noticed in the last couple of years, PayPal forcibly forced eBay to remove all firearm parts and transactions off eBay. Now, they can still sell some stuff like trigger grouping, stuff like that. But if you remember, eBay used to be able to sell complete AR uppers. You could actually, FFLs were doing transfers via eBay. With lowers, you still had to transfer to an FFL dealer. All kinds of stuff like that. They pulled all that stuff off. Now they've forced them to also pull off body armor. You can't even run ceramic body armor unless the AR-500 steel is what they're allowed to sell on there, because that's technically steel, and so they still classify it as legal to sell. But that's just a little side note. Back to the story, total anti-currency. Public enemy number one was currency when it came to this 13-year-old 8th grader. This is from ABC, by the way. 18-year-old grader Denisha Neal at Fort Bend Independent School District, Krista McAuliffe Middle School. Denisha was hoping to eat that day's lunch of chicken tenders with her classmates using a $2 bill given to her by her grandmother when she was stopped by the long arm of the law. She goes, I went to the lunch line and I gave them my money and they said my $2 bill was fake. So they immediately called the police. They sent me to the police station. The police officer told me I was in big trouble, that I was going to be charged with a third-degree felony. Remember, guys, this is a 13-year-old trying to buy chicken fingers at a public school with a $2 bill. She didn't come in with a trash bag full of hundreds and try and buy a house. The $2 bill. They're threatening her with third-degree felony. Pitched a fit about it. Threatening her, telling her all this stuff. And so the officials brought her grandmother in. They said, did you give Denisha a $2 bill for lunch? She said, yeah, I gave it to her. I got it from the gas station, blah, blah, blah. They told her it was fake. So the ISD police investigated the $2 bill. They started going to schools. This is a full investigation. The alleged theft of the $2 worth of chicken tenders led a campus officer to the convenience store that gave the grandma the $2 bill. Next stop, the cop went to the bank finally to examine the bill. After all this stuff, after all this scare, finally the mystery was solved. The $2 bill was not fake at all. Completely real $2 bill currency. The bill was fairly old. It was a 1953 $2 bill, and the school's counterfeit pen did not work correctly on the currency, so they immediately said it had to be a fake $2 bill and put this girl, her grandma, through days of scrutiny for absolutely no reason at all. And then the worst part, the police officer comes back, gives her the $2 bill, doesn't apologize, and he should have, and then basically also for pulling her out of lunch. She didn't even get to eat lunch that day. She was immediately pulled out of lunch, didn't even get to eat. So this, again, guys, is why I'm saying, and this all this is right now is to condition the children, to condition the next coming generation that cash is bad. If you talk to this girl now, you know, probably later on down the road, a year, 2 years from now, and you ask her what's her preference on using cash or, say, a debit card or a credit card, I can almost guarantee you 100% she's going to say, oh, I'd much rather have a credit card. It's safer. I don't have to deal with all the cash. That's exactly what they're doing. They're conditioning the population to absolutely fear money. Cash is bad. Stay stay away from cash. You need to stick with our cashless society. It's way safer. You don't have to go through the scrutiny. So I thought I would address that today just to let you guys know how absolutely moronic some of these police departments are. I mean, first off, it was a $2 bill. Like I said, if this was, you know, some 20-year-old kid who comes in looking like a dope dealer, you know, and comes in with $400,000 in $100 bills and they're testing fake, you got yourself an issue with forgery. A 13-year-old girl buying chicken tenders with a $2 bill, did they not bother to look at the date on the print date? It says it right there on the face of the bill. 1953, it's an old bill. It's over 60 years old. No wonder it doesn't work with a pen. Nobody bothered to think that. They put this girl and her grandma through absolute stress and didn't even bother to apologize. So that's one thing I wanted to address today with that.
Well, Austin, it's really funny you said that because there is a ministry that we support that has a bunch of kids in it. And for Christmas this year, instead of sending them, you know, $10 or $20 each, there was like 15 kids. We thought we would go to the bank and get $2 bills because our three youngest children, I don't think we gave you the twos, Austin, but they love to get $2 bills when we pay them for chores or for doing extra things. Because when they go to the store and they give the $2 bill, and if they pay, let's say, at Walmart or something, they get a lot of attention and they kind of look cool. So they love using the $2 bills. Well, we got, I don't know, maybe $100 worth of $2 bills and distributed them in cards to all these kids at this school. And you would have thought we gave them $100. They were so excited because $2 bills are so rare that my kids have used them in the store before. They've had to call the manager to okay for them to take it. It's crazy. But our kids love it. The other kids, we got all these thank you notes. Thank you so much. We love these $2 bills. I mean, $2, you know. But we gave them $10 in $2 bills. Well, what's so funny is, When you use something like this, I mean, we get the crisp, fresh, we want the clean ones, they come right out, you know, the bank, we go to the bank and get them. But what's so crazy is this poor little girl, I mean, she probably thought it was so cool to pay with a $2 bill because no one else uses it. And it's become such a joke. Another thing I was going to mention off the subject is we were talking about our rights and what we have over here in the United States, and we're talking to people all the time over here. We're talking about, you know, I got my gun and I got my Glock and I've got this. And they look at you like, oh my gosh, they get scared. When you start talking about guns over here, they get nervous. And then we say, well, we've got a permit. A permit? What's that? Well, this is so we can carry a gun. You carry a gun? Your wife carries a gun? Oh my gosh, you have a gun? Well, we can use mace over here. Well, how well has that helped you? You know, that's not working real well, especially with the terrorists and the Muslims and all these and the rapes that they were having. And I just found it interesting that when you talk about guns, they get really nervous over here. It's kind of it's funny, but it's sad. I know that's all the subject of the money. Yeah, yeah.
They've been disarmed and they've been brainwashed, and that's what Eric Holder, remember, said that in the 90s. He was on national television in that interview, and he said, we have to brainwash the way that people think about guns. All the time, we have to constantly make them think differently about guns. And that's what they've tried to do, and they've done that phenomenally well over in Europe and Australia and so forth. The United States has not worked out so well for them. There's still a large portion of the population that are complete and total idiots when it comes to firearms. So it is what it is, but the large portion of the population still is massively pro-gun. And this goes on to my another article relating exactly to this. This is why I tell you guys so many times to make sure, A, you know your laws in your state about defending yourself with a firearm. B, making sure when you draw your firearm, you know what you're shooting at, you have a target, you know your backstop, and you also know everything that's going to happen after you discharge that weapon, whether into a human being, an animal, a vehicle, whatever the situation may arise. You need to be completely apprised on your laws so when this happens, you're not surprised about what happened. This is a perfect example why. There's the article now from Douglas Walker. A burglar who broke into Dunkirk man's garage has now filed a lawsuit against the homeowner for shooting him. Now, first off, the situation is really ridiculous. I'll read it to you in a second. But the homeowner really discharged his firearm in a negligent manner. I'll tell you guys that in a second. You know, and I'll call it like it is. If it is, it is. If it's not, it's not. But he really was negligent with his firearm, and he ended up going to jail. Did a short time, and now he has a civil lawsuit against him from this guy. Authorities said David Bailey broke into the garage of a Dunkirk resident, David McLaughlin, on April 21st, 2014. It was like right at 2 years ago now. McLaughlin fired gunshots at the intruder as he saw him leaving his property in the 400 block of West Commerce Drive. One of the bullets hit Bailey in the left arm as he ran down the alley. In September 2014, a Jay Superior Court found McLaughlin guilty of criminal recklessness in the shooting. Judge later sentenced the owner to 60 days in jail, followed by 4 months on home detention. Now, here's the whole incident that I have to say about this. You have to be very, very careful if somebody is breaking into a house, stealing a car, because you cannot, and I will repeat this, in the state of Florida, you cannot use deadly force to prevent somebody from stealing a object. If they're stealing a car, if they're stealing a motorcycle, you cannot discharge a firearm into them and use deadly force. Secondly, you're not allowed to shoot somebody in the back if they are fleeing from your property. Now, granted, if you have a group of individuals and they're breaking in the house and they're facing opposite direction and one's facing another way and you shoot one in the back as the other one's turning around, that's completely different. But if an individual is fleeing your property, you do not have the right to use deadly force against them. And rightfully so, guys. We do not need people running around shooting people as they're running away from them. Granted, this guy was a burglar. He was probably going to steal a bunch of stuff. But you can't just start shooting in that direction. Secondly, the man fired 3 rounds into the alley. I'll tell you here in a second. 3 rounds and only hit the man once in the arm. That means 2 rounds did not enter the man that were intended to. They hit the wall in the alley. Now, luckily, he had a proper backstop, and that's where it went. However, if there would have been a ricochet or there would not have been proper backstop, those 2 rounds could have been 2 other fatalities of innocent victims that had nothing to do with that shooting. It's so important if you're going to carry a firearm, if you're going to engage in carrying a firearm, if you're going to practice with a firearm, you must use discretion when you discharge that firearm. You cannot just randomly start shooting in any direction you want if somebody's running away from you. It is too dangerous because if you kill somebody, not only are you going to have to deal with that the rest of your life, you kill somebody who's completely innocent, you are going to go to prison, probably for an extended period of time as well. So that's one thing I wanted to address with this. And then now this is the crazy part about it. Now, Bailey, the guy that was shot, that broke into the house, he pleaded guilty for burglary, was charged with burglary, and ended up going, he was on home detention for 3 years. Now his attorney has filed a lawsuit, and in the lawsuit he says that he never entered the garage and never entered the defendant's garage for the purpose of stealing property. Now, I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. I don't know how you don't enter a garage, but then you never enter the garage for the purpose of stealing property. I don't even get how that means, but they're filing a suit to basically claim damages because of serious and permanent damage to his left arm from being shot. And so that's another thing you guys have to think about, guys, is counter lawsuits. You shoot somebody, you don't kill them, which is, you know, is best. Hopefully they don't die. I mean, that's not something anybody wants to do, is kill somebody. But you need to be prepared to defend yourself, because especially if a situation like this, he really didn't have the right to discharge his firearm. He was being negligent, and that's why he went to jail and was on probation. There's no question about it. So that's what I have to say about that. If you're going to do this, take classes, train, carry your firearm, but understand, you may be in a situation where you need to draw your firearm to defend yourself, but you do not have the capability to discharge that weapon because of the safe environment or the backstop you're in. If you're in a mall and you have an active shooter come in with an AR-15 and he's trying to engage the entire mall, you know, you have to make sure that if you start shooting at him, you're not going to start shooting into a crowd of people on the other side of the mall or into another office or something like that. These are just things you have to think about, and you have to think about them on the fly. So it's something that you really need to think about, and that's why I wanted to bring that article up here today and make people understand that carrying a firearm is a big responsibility. It's not something to be taken lightly, and I think that's why a lot of, you know, Europeans, they've been brainwashed into thinking that the carrying a firearm is so dangerous, because most of the propaganda they hear are probably incidences like this and worse, and most of them are, you know, actually violent crimes where people use a firearm to do something to somebody. And, you know, that's why you really want to make sure you know what you're doing if you're going to start carrying a firearm and understand the consequences if you use it.
Well, Austin, over here, they look at us as like cowboys. They call it, like we're the Wild West. I mean, they literally compare us to the movies of the Westerns. Like, you know, we've got the boots on and we've got the guns. And it's funny. That's how they look at it. Funny, though.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. So, I mean, it's something that people need to just be aware of. Like I said, if you're going to carry a firearm, you need to be aware of it. Also, too, in other news, the largest chicken producer in the United States, Pilgrim's Pride, has now recalled millions of pounds of cooked chicken products. Actually, 4.5 million pounds of fully cooked chicken products are subject to a Class 1 recall. According to the USDA's website, it is a health hazard situation where the use of the product will cause serious adverse health consequences or death. A very strong statement. I don't know if that's over-exaggerated or not, but they're stating here the materials, including plastic, wood, rubber, metal, may have contaminated chicken products that were produced for almost a two-year period through August 14 through March 16, almost a two-year period. Pilgrim's Pride locations span across 13 states as well as Mexico and Puerto Rico. Pilgrim's Pride records show that the defective products have been shipped nationwide and have been purchased by schools. Contamination was discovered after Pilgrim's Pride received consumer complaints of foreign material contaminants and alerted the USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service on April 6th. Pilgrim's Pride proudly states on their website that they supply one in every five chickens in America. As of right now, as of a day ago, there's been no reported illnesses or adverse health reactions to any of Pilgrim's Pride stuff. So I hope nobody finds that, you know, that they get into one of those situations where they get sick from it. But I just want to address that and let people know that Pilgrim's Pride chicken has been compromised, and they were saying a large percentage of it are like the chicken nuggets and chicken fingers and a couple other things like that. So that's one reason, too, that I wanted to address, that you guys really you need to stay away from the processed meat. And even if it doesn't have sodium nitrite, if it doesn't have a bunch of preservatives, remember, all that chicken is, when these eat the chicken nuggets, the chicken fingers, it's reconstituted, glued back together chicken loaf. That's all it is. They take the tendons, the little tiny pieces of white meat, soft tissue, stuff that's not usable that gets left behind on the carcass, and it's stripped down, it's run through a grinder two or three times, and they add all kinds of different preservatives to keep it stable, you know, spices, everything else, bread it, fry it, and that's it. So, I mean, there's really no, and I can honestly say this, there's really no health aspect at all. It's not healthy to eat any type of chicken nuggets or chicken fingers, even the organic ones, any of that stuff. It's just, you're not looking at a really, really health-conscious product. So it's best to try and get, you know, organic chicken, whole birds, or half birds, and go from there. You get good, high-quality chicken. You're going to spend a little bit more money. If you are going to want to engage in that type of, you know, food where you want to have like some fried chicken or a chicken nugget or something like that, then you need to make sure that you go and you do it yourself. There's a lot of ways. I know, Mom, you have a recipe that you make as far as the breaded chicken. Go into that real quick. You make these really good chicken fingers from, you know, like chicken breast.
Well, it's really easy because you just, of course, you know, you dip it in the egg and then the flour and the egg. And then what I do is I take an organic cornflake cereal and just crumble it up with a little bit of sweetener. And you can put some spices in there and just put it in that, and it's got cornflakes on it. Then I cook it in either coconut oil or olive oil and brown it on both sides, and you bake it in the oven, and it's a baked fried chicken, which is really good. People actually request it when they come over. But, you know, that's another thing. When you talk about these chicken products, it reminds me of the fast foods that we're having to deal with all the time. We just took my youngest daughter, Savannah, to a taekwondo tournament on Saturday, and she had gotten to first place. She was, Mom, I want to go here and eat this. And I said, Savannah, they have plastic in their bread. Savannah, this, they have this in their meat. I'm thinking, you know, there's nothing. And there wasn't a Chipotle anywhere in this town we were, so I, that would be my only choice. I said, I tell you what, I've got to go to the grocery store. Let's go to Publix, and you go in the deli and ask which boar's head meat or you know, luncheon meat, which they actually cut off the big pieces of meat, doesn't have any nitrites in it, and go ahead and get you a sub sandwich. Tell them what you want. Make sure you get the highest quality bread they have. And she was happy with that. And if you train your children to do that, but if you give in to them, oh, I want to go to Wendy's, or I want to go here, I want to go to McDonald's, all that, you do that one time, they're going to want to do it over and over again, and you're yep. setting a precedence. You're also condoning it. Well, it's all right to do it one time. You know, kids really want black and white. They don't want gray areas. They want to know either they can or they can't. And if you tell them they can't, don't ever give in to them if it's something that's, you know, affecting their health, because then they're going to say, well, you know, we do this every now and then. No, either don't do it or do it, but give them a healthy alternative. I know for birthdays, we get organic ice cream. Our grocery store Publix actually has a Greenwise ice cream that's organic, because I really don't want to use any ice cream now that has milk with the GMOs, or milk that's got the antibiotics and hormones in it. I mean, I've gotten that fanatical about it, because it really feeds sick kids. I mean, it just doesn't make them healthy. And you've got to remember also, these kids are watching you, not only what you eat, but what you are feeding them. Oh, I grew up eating this. I know Austin is not a soda drinker. Well, we were real adamant about not letting him have sodas, and we never drank sodas. Now, every now and then, we'll get the Virgil's root beer, which is like an organic root beer. You can get it one with sugar, you can get one with stevia. And when they have that, they think they've really got something. So with the fast foods, with all these chickens and all that, I mean, the stuff you were talking about, Austin, that they put in these nuggets, this is the stuff that we throw over the fence to feed our chickens, because chickens actually love chicken.
Yeah, I know.
And you actually can give them broken up chicken, the shells of the eggs, when you, like, if you crack them and then you use the egg, the shells can be given to the chickens, but you have to make sure you break it up really, really fine, because if you throw a whole shell in there and they start pecking it, they're going to start pecking their own eggs. Then you're going to be defeating the whole purpose of having chickens. But this is all the stuff you were talking about that we don't eat. And then what I normally do with the organic chickens, the heart and the kidney and the liver that's inside, I usually boil that, just quick boil it, let it cool, and then I give it to Austin's dogs, because they're very healthy for them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're definitely, and a story back to them, about the dogs. I like, you know, it's good to have dogs. I like dogs. Back to the firearm story. This is something a couple months ago that happened, and this was one of those situations where, you know, I felt that I needed to stand down, and there was no reason to, show what type of marksmanship I could provide in a situation that called for it. And it was about 3:30 in the morning. We were, Lan and I were sleeping. Dogs started barking in the house. This is before we had Hunter. And, so I let the dogs in the backyard. You know, we got a fence up front and stuff so they can see everything that's going on. And there was a white male, no shirt on a four-wheeler across the street on a vacant lot, stalling out his four-wheeler, and then it would start back up, go a couple feet, stall it out, and he's pushing it, trying to start it. Well, you know, we live in rural Auburndale. There's not really a need for, you know, somebody to be riding their four-wheeler down our street at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Either, one, he was involved in some type of illicit drug activity, and he was riding his four-wheeler around, and he didn't realize that it was cold, and he had no shirt on, or, B, it was stolen. Either one was not something that was probably a positive scenario for anybody. So Lana, you know, I let the dogs out the back. They immediately started barking. And I yelled something at the kid. He didn't respond back to me. He kind of pushed his four-wheeler a little bit faster. But then he stopped in the middle of the road around the corner, and I could still have clear view of him. And Lana's like, well, you should go over there and talk to him and see why he's out here. And so, I have my Glock with me, as always. And I started to go out the fence, and I was like, you know what? I'm like, nothing good can come out of me stepping off my property right now. If I go over to him, if I engage him, if he's, you know, strung out on meth, if he charges me, if he has a weapon, you know, I am going to be basically charged with initiating some type of violent response because I was on my property. I was not in fear of my life. He did not show me any type of threat. I left my property with a firearm with intent to engage him with prejudice. And then the situation arises and just goes from there, like, you know, as I was mentioned earlier on that show. And so, and more than likely, I probably would have been charged with the entire situation, and it just would have gone downhill from there. So situations like that, you know, and that's why I like dog sports, because they're a pretty big deterrent. We have two blue-nosed pit bulls that are gaudy. They're real sweet dogs. I've been around pits my whole life. I love them. If they're raised right, you get a correct breed version of them, and you train them, and you work with them, and you love on them, they are an absolutely amazing dog. They are super, super protective of Hunter. I mean, they're just, they're super awesome.
Let me say something. Let me say something, Austin, about that. I had the way again. It's like the government making you think things that really aren't, and lying to you, and programming you, and how they program you to think a certain way. And the blue nose pits are probably one of the nicest dogs I've ever met. Their personalities are amazing. They're lovable big babies. And they are so protective of the family. And when you got those puppies, I was like, I've heard certain things, but I gave you credit because I knew you had done all the research. But these are some of the nicest dogs. They're full grown now. They're almost 2 years. And they're phenomenal. So I told my husband, I said, I told my kids, the last one out of college, the last one that leaves for college, I'm getting a dog. And they say, why are you getting a dog when we leave for college? Why can't we have one now? I said, well, you got Austin Lana's dogs. Plus, you don't take care of them. I do. And I said, so when you go to college, I'm getting me a dog. And I said, I would love to have the blue nose pit because they don't really shed. They're easy maintenance. And number one, they're beautiful. People have gone to Austin. They've walked by his house and take pictures of them. They're so pretty. But yeah, they're really good dogs. They're good watchdogs, but they're super, super friendly if they know you.
Yeah, and then they're great with humans. The only thing you do have to watch out with them for is that they are they're dog aggressive. There's no question about that. They're very protective, so when other dogs do approach the property or anything like that, they're very aggressive towards other dogs. Not an issue for me because I don't have any other dogs, nor do I care to have any other dogs on my property. So it keeps my place safe, too, because as I have a child now, you know, they're super, super gentle and awesome with Hunter even in 2 weeks. But if we have another dog trying to encroach on the property that may not be so gentle, I do not want that.
But Austin, a German Shepherd would do the same thing.
Well, exactly,
A Malamute would do the same thing. I mean, so really, that's not a negative thing.
No, it's pretty normal. No,
it's
not. And then one thing, I don't know if you guys... Did you watch the Trump's foreign policy speech 2 days ago? Were you guys able to see that, or were you guys tracking?
No, I was hoping you'd catch me up on what's going on. Apparently, he's ahead, and
After Tuesday, he essentially, it would be almost impossible without severe manipulation for him to get all the nominees. Now, it's crazy out in California right now. The anti-Trump riots are completely out of control. I mean, they're over there running around with Mexicans. Flags, screaming all kinds of profanities, breaking cars, breaking cop car windows. And the funny thing is, guys, look at it like this. Just reverse it for a second. If I went into Mexico illegally, wasn't supposed to be there, my family didn't, I was born in Mexico, we're all Americans, but we live in Mexico, and they're voting on a new president, and then I run out in the street and start vandalizing people's property and start holding an American flag up, yelling, you know, F the president that you're trying to vote for, they would tolerate that type of behavior whatsoever in Mexico? Probably not. They would probably shoot me. If not, they would throw me in a prison. So I don't know why these individuals out in California think they're so entitled to this type of behavior. This is acceptable behavior. This is the exact reason that people want a wall built. And I'm just being as candid as I can be with you guys. I'm not saying this is a generality. I've met multiple Mexican friends. I've worked with Mexicans. They've been great a lot of times. But you have this younger generation now that sees America as basically, you know, a giant handout state, and that's what they're using it for. That's what they're doing, and they assume everything they should be entitled to. But one thing that I did, I went over yesterday a bunch of stuff with this foreign policy speech, Mom, and he went into detail as far as with border reform, getting that under control, building a wall. But his foreign policy speech was awesome. He addressed a whole bunch of stuff. But this is one of the proudest things I had heard that he said, and I talked about it yesterday. Now, one single other presidential candidate has talked about this. Nobody has brought this up on national television. This is in his middle of his speech during his national foreign policy speech. And he goes, "We are a humanitarian nation, but the legacy of the Obama-Clinton interventions will be weakness, confusion, and disarray." He said, "We've made the Middle East more unstable and chaotic than ever before. We've left Christians subject to intense persecution and even genocide. We have done nothing to help the Christians, nothing. We should always be ashamed for that lack of action." And I went,
wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
If people didn't understand or think where he stood on that, when's the last time you heard Cruz say something like that? My goodness, when's the last time you heard Barack Hussein, idiot Obama, or Hillary, Benghazi, Clinton say something like that? I have never heard anybody say anything like that recently on national television that's running for a president in July, ever. So, I mean, that right there showed me where he stood, that he was not afraid to address that. That's something that for some reason is like taboo now. Nobody wants to talk about the Christians being persecuted by ISIS over the Middle East. Everybody wants to act like it's not happening. All we want to do is keep letting radical Islam. Then I talked about that yesterday. And in a certain 1 month, you know, we had almost 2,000 undocumented immigrants, radical Islams coming in from Syria. Out of all of them that came in, one of them was a Christian. That's what they stated, one of them. The rest, 1,900-something, were all radical Islams. This is something that needs to be addressed. This is something that I really, really, really want people to realize, that this is why, one of the main reasons why I've been supporting him so much is because...
And pray for Trump. Pray for Trump.
Yeah.
Diligently.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I'm not saying anything's going to get better. Like I've told you guys multiple times, there's a good possibility when if he does make it into office, that they're going to potentially do something to drop the economy on his head, to let him bottom out, just because they will have him now as a scapegoat. So everybody says, "I told you so, he was going to do this, he was going to do that." He's not going to do any of that. Listen, we have such a, we're on such tight strings right now. The only thing they would have to do is throw a glitch software in the EBP system and stop EBT payments, food cards, and all that stuff for a month. If you let 45 million people that rely on the government for food not be able to get free food anymore, you can see how fast people ride. We just thought Ferguson was an issue. People in Ferguson want to pull gut and ride like that. So just keep in mind all the things next year or so, whenever we see this happen. But guys, it's been great being on the show with you. Mom, I'm glad you were on today.
Had a good time, Austin.
Good. I'm glad. And guys, if you need anything, check us out at healthmasters.com. We always give us a call, shoot us an email. You guys have a blessed night, and we will be with you guys again on Monday.